Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1 and reading to chapter 15, verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Enims in Shavah-Kiriath-Aim, and the Horvites in their Mount Seir, unto El-Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to En-Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon-Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings with 5. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abraham. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him, at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Dear friends, during the past several weeks, we have been meditating on the relationship between Christ and the believer, focusing on some of the metaphors that the scriptures employ to describe that relationship. So far, we've seen that Christ is our portion. He is our freedom. He is our door and our life. Today, with God's help, we want to reflect on Christ as our shield. We have a reference to that in the passage of scripture that we read together, Genesis 15, verse 1. And there God says to Abram, I am your shield. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his holy and infallible word. Dear friends, in ancient times, the most essential piece of equipment for a soldier in battle was his shield. Unless he had a shield, he could not be protected. He would be killed even before he engaged the enemy. For that reason, men of ancient times put a great deal of thought into designing shields for battle. Some shields had tiny slits in them so the soldier could see his enemy advancing towards him. Some had designs that indicated of which tribe or military unit the soldier was a member. Some were so large that they covered the soldier's entire body. Others were smaller and worn on the arm so that the soldier could still engage in hand-to-hand combat. But whatever the shield looked like, its purpose was the same: to afford some measure of protection to the soldier in battle, and thus to preserve his life. But did you know that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too have a shield? It's a different kind of shield. It's not made of wood or metal. It's not worn on the arm or carried with both hands. It is not ornately decorated. It is a person. It is a divine person. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the shield of his people. Earlier we read together from Genesis chapter 14. In that chapter we have the record of Abraham's victory over Chedorlaomer. Chedorlaomer was the king of Elam. Together with three other kings, Chedorlaomer waged war against five kings, including the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, where his nephew Lot lived. Chedorlaomer defeated these kings in battle and took with him all the spoils of these five cities, including Lot and his family. He then returned to his own land. When Abraham heard what had happened to Lot, he immediately mustered an army of 318 men, and he launched a counterattack with the help of three tribal chieftains who were also Abram's neighbors, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. As it turned out, Abram won the battle and returned to his home with all the spoils and captives that Chedorlaomer had taken from Sodom. Later, when the king of Sodom offered to give Abram all the spoils of battle, Abram refused, lest the king of Sodom should say that he, rather than the Lord, had made him rich. And following all of this, we read in chapter 15, verse 1, that the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Here God, in the person of the pre-incarnate Christ, declares to Abram that he was his shield. And what was true for Abram is true for all of God's people. Christ is their shield. And it's to that thought that we turn our attention with God's help today. The theme for the sermon is Christ, our shield. We'll consider three thoughts. First of all, the need for this shield. Secondly, the properties of this shield. And thirdly, the benefit of this shield. The Lord in our text declares that he is Abram's shield. By this he meant that he would be Abram's protector. He would provide Abram with protection from all harm and danger. Now it goes without saying that Abram needed such a shield. He needed a shield to protect him from his enemies, like Chedorlaomer and the chiefs of the heathen tribes who dwelt in the land of Canaan. What is more, sometimes Abram found himself in great danger, like when he went to Egypt and he was afraid that someone might kill him so that he could marry Sarah. And that in turn caused Abram to ask Sarah to tell people that she was his sister. Or we can think of another time when Abimelech took Sarah into his harem. Abram needed a shield. There were threats and enemies on every side. Unless he had a shield, he would not survive. The heathen, backed by the power of Satan, would surely stamp out the covenant line, and the Messiah would never be born. There was a lot at stake, and the Lord knew this. And therefore he comes to Abram, and he says to him, I am your shield. Now as believers, we also need a shield, don't we? And that's because, like Abram, we too have many enemies. And these enemies are many and very powerful. Who are these enemies? Well, there are three of them. The first is the devil. The devil is and always has been the arch enemy of God's people. Peter compares him to a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he and his fellow demons spend all of their time and all of their energy attacking the people of God, seeking to drag them down into hell with them. Another enemy is the world. The world and everyone in it is under the dominion of and in league with Satan. And as such, the world also constantly attacks the people of God. It does so subtly, by seeking to lead God's people astray, alluring them with all of its sinful attractions. And sometimes it does so overtly by persecuting believers and seeking to undermine and destroy the church of Christ and the cause of Christ. The third enemy that believers have is our own sinful flesh. Every believer possesses a new nature and an old nature. These two natures are constantly at war with each other. The new nature wants to walk in the ways of the Lord and live to his glory, but the old nature wants to get us to walk in the ways of sin. And this is why believers sin, sometimes very grievously. It is because of their old nature, or what the Apostle Paul calls the flesh. The point is, the believer is under almost constant attack. He's under attack by the devil, by the world, and our own sinful flesh. And these enemies are very powerful, and we are so weak. And left to ourselves, we cannot stand against them. And this is why we need a shield. We need a shield to protect and defend us against our enemies. Have you come to see that for yourself? Have you come to see your need for a shield? Are the enemies that you face too strong for you? Do you fear at times that they will overcome you? Well, my friend, if you're in Christ, fear no longer. Christ is your shield. He is the shield, the only shield that we need. But maybe you ask, well, what kind of shield is he? That brings us to our second point, the properties of this shield. Christ, our shield, possesses several properties that make him ideally suited to function as our shield. And what are these properties? Well, the first is, he is a living shield. Other shields are dead, made of dead materials like wood or metal. But Christ is a living shield. He was dead, but he is alive forevermore. And as a living shield, he can see the danger approaching. He can defend us against that danger, and he can feel and sympathize with us when we are afraid. He is a living shield. He's also a lasting shield. Other shields last only for a period of time. They get old and brittle until eventually they fall apart. Then they are replaced with new ones. But Christ is a shield who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It has been many centuries since Abraham and David had him for their shield, but he is as firm and as good a shield now as ever. He is also an all-encompassing shield. Other shields are for one side only. If you held the shield on your right arm, it would only cover the right side of your body. The left side of your body would be left exposed. But Christ covers every side. He protects us fully and completely from top to bottom and all around. The devil once accused God of forming a hedge about Job and about his house and about all that he had on every side, preventing him from attacking him. Now, though the devil is a perpetual liar, on that occasion he spoke the truth. Christ is a shield who completely hedges in, surrounds his people. And as such, no evil or danger shall befall them. In Christ, they are completely safe. He is also an impenetrable shield. That means nothing can pierce through it. Now, that cannot be said of other shields. There are examples of shields that were pierced with arrows and sliced and dented by swords and clubs. But when we have Christ as our shield, nothing can harm us. No fiery dart of the devil can penetrate it. He is an impenetrable shield. He's also a suitable shield. That means he is suitable for every believer. He is suitable for the weak and the strong, for the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the wise and the simple. He is suitable for all people of every tongue and tribe and nation on this earth. He is suitable for all. When David tried on Saul's armor, he found that it was not suitable. It did not suit him. But Christ is armor that suits all. No matter who you are or how great your need, Christ will meet it, for he is our shield. He is also an only shield. By that I mean, he is the only shield that we need. In ancient times, there were different shields for different purposes. There was a larger shield for soldiers who were marching into battle and confronting the enemy head on. But there was also a smaller shield for soldiers who were engaged in hand-to-hand combat. Some shields were better suited for one purpose, while other shields were better suited for another purpose. But Christ is a shield for all purposes. No matter what kind of enemy we may face, no matter what kind of battle we are engaged in, Christ is the only shield that we need. He is also an available shield. By that I mean, he is a shield to all who put their trust in him. Whoever repents of sin and believes on his name will have him as their shield. He will not turn anyone away. He is available to all. These are just a few of the many properties of this shield, but I hope that this will suffice to convince you that Christ is the shield and the only shield that you and I need. Since that is so, let me ask you, will you not take him as your shield? You know, you have to do this. You cannot stand against your enemies in and of yourself. You are too weak, and they are too strong. You need a shield, and Christ is the shield that you need. So I urge you today, take him to yourself. Try him. Prove him. He will not disappoint. Now, to further convince you of this, let me also now try to describe some of the benefits of this shield. That brings us to our third and final point. My friends, when we have Christ as our shield, we become partakers of some wonderful benefits. In the first place, we have someone to protect us from our enemies. Earlier I mentioned that the believer has three enemies: the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. When we have Christ as our shield, he will protect us from all of these enemies. Now, to be sure, sometimes he will allow these enemies to gain the victory over us, if only to teach us a lesson or to remind us how much we need him. But for the most part, he protects us, at least to the point where our enemies will never gain the final victory. This is especially true for death. Death is the last enemy of God's people. And although believers must die, their death is not final. Through Christ, death has lost its sting. The grave will not have the final victory. For the believer will rise again on the day that Christ comes to judge the living and the dead, and they shall live and reign with him forever. Secondly, when we have Christ as our shield, we have someone to protect us against the wrath of God against sin. The God whom we worship and serve is a holy God. He is so holy that he cannot look upon iniquity. What is more, he is completely righteous. And that means that those who sin against him must and will be punished. As lost children of Adam, God's wrath burns against us from the moment that we are conceived in our mother's womb. What we need is a shield to protect us from the wrath of God against sin. Unless we have such a shield, we will not be able to stand before God and live. Well, Christ is the shield that we need. He is the one who shields us from the wrath of God and the curse due to us for our sins. And he can do this because he bore this wrath himself. He did so all the time that he lived on this earth, but especially when he went to the cross. It was there, on the cross of Calvary, that Christ endured the full wrath of God against the sins of all of his people. He bore, he assuaged, he propitiated this wrath so that we would not have to. My friend, had he not done so, there would be no hope for any of us. We would surely be consumed by the wrath of God. Thirdly, when we have Christ as our shield, we have someone to protect us against evil. In Psalm 121, the psalmist declares that his help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then he goes on to say, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The psalmist here declares that Christ will protect him from all evil. He will be a shield to him by night and by day. Similarly, in Psalm 91, the psalmist declares that those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God will deliver them from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. He shall cover them with his feathers, and under his wings shall they trust. They will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000, he says, shall fall at their side, and 10,000 at their right hand, but it shall not come nigh them. And then he writes, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now, this is the protection that Christ affords for those who have him as their shield. Now again, Christ will not always protect his people from every danger. At times he will allow his people to suffer or to sustain injury and even to die. But generally speaking, what the psalmist says is true. Christ will be a shield to his people. He will protect them against harm and danger, sometimes in ways that we are not even aware of. So Christ is definitely the shield that we need, my friends. If we have him as our shield, we will want for nothing. Is Christ your shield? Then count yourself fortunate. You are among the most privileged and blessed people on earth. And that's because when we have Christ as our shield, we have someone to protect us from our enemies. We have someone to defend us against the wrath of God against sin. We have someone to keep us from all manner of harm and danger. And these are some of the greatest privileges we can ever enjoy in this life. Let the world boast of its riches and power. When we have Christ as our shield, we neither need nor can desire anything else. Is Christ your shield? Then make use of him every day in everything. Do not leave the house or go on a journey unless you have Christ as your shield with you. I say that because you never know what may happen. You never know if the enemy will attack you. You never know if some danger will befall you. Therefore, take him wherever you go. Take him when you rise from your bed in the morning and when you go to your bed at night. Take him to school. Take him to the workplace. Take him on your vacation. Whatever you do and wherever you go, take Christ as your shield. Is Christ your shield? Then do not fear. Some people, even some believers, live in fear. They're always afraid of some possible evil or mishap lurking just around the corner. But that's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to live without fear, always trusting in him, believing that whatever happens, happens because God allows it to happen. And he is working out his sovereign purposes in our lives in ways that we cannot even possibly imagine. And we can live like this when we have Christ as our shield. But if you must say today that Christ is not your shield, I must tell you, you are in great danger. A soldier without a shield will surely die in battle. But a man, a woman, a boy or girl who does not have Christ as his or her shield will perish in hell, which is far worse. The fact is, if you don't have Christ as your shield, you have no one to protect you. You have no one to protect you from your enemies. You have no one to protect you from harm and danger. But worst of all, you have no one to protect you from the consuming wrath of God against sin. Then when you stand before him on the day of judgment, as you must, you will have to stand all alone. And the lightning bolts of God's wrath will be hurled against you, and you will surely perish as you are cast into the flames of hell. Therefore, do not be so foolish. Do not be so irresponsible. Take Christ as your shield this very day. Take him as he freely offers himself to you in the gospel. Take him and you will live. Refuse and you will perish. Amen.